From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The state Supreme Court has 3 months to rule on the constitutionality of a California law that limits marriage to a man and a woman. San Francisco challenged that law 4 years ago by marrying nearly 4,000 same-sex couples. Reporter Sarah Varney watched 3 intense hours of legal argument yesterday from inside the courtroom. She joins us to recap what happened, starting with the arguments in favor of allowing same-sex couples to marry.
The city and the attorneys for the same-sex couples argue that gay couples have nearly all the same rights and benefits under domestic partnership that heterosexual couples have under marriage. But they argue that marriage is an important symbol that has deep meaning. It conveys loyalty and intimacy and commitment. And to have separate institutions conveys a lesser status and is demeaning to gay men and lesbians.
So what did the lawyer for the state's attorney general say in response to that?
They say that there's a long history and tradition defining marriage as a union between one woman and one man. The attorney general also says that the civil rights of gays and lesbians are fully protected under domestic partnerships. Here we're going to hear an exchange between Senior Assistant Attorney General Chris Krueger and Justice Carlos Moreno.
Counsel, are you saying that separate is equal here?
I'm saying these are parallel institutions.
Well, is that separate is equal?
Here, there is equality.
And what distinguishes this from Perez is that there's no animus against gays and lesbians?
Well, there's no animus, that there's no...
Well, that didn't motivate the creation of the law.
The justice mentioned Perez. The court discussed a 1948 ruling legalizing interracial marriages in California. How does that ruling apply, Sarah, here to same-sex couples?
Well, that was the big question of whether or not it even applies. So the 1948 Perez ruling, as you mentioned, the California court did what no U.S. court had done up until that point, which was that it legalized interracial marriages. But the justices said that in that particular case, they could point to specific sections of both the state and the U.S. Constitution to justify that ruling. Here, they're wondering whether or not sexual orientation rises to the same level as race and should be as protected as race is.
California voters limited marriage to a union between a man and a woman. Doesn't California law say if the voters pass an initiative and there are issues, it has to go back to the voters?
That was a big question that the justices were struggling with yesterday. We're going to hear this exchange between Justice Carol Corrigan and Glenn Levy. He's an attorney for the Proposition 22 Defense Fund, and they seem particularly interested in this question.
Pardon? My question is, what is the role of this court if the public policy, as you assert, as expressed by 4 million people, is that marriage is between a man and a woman? Do we have any role to play?
Your Honor, I would submit that at most this court could say that the marriage laws are unconstitutional. I don't think this court has the constitutional authority to rewrite the marriage laws.
The justices kept asking, why is this the time the court decides this issue? Why is this the time?
Well, let's listen to another exchange. This is with Justice Catherine Werdiger and San Francisco Chief Deputy City Attorney Tres Stewart, where they're debating that exact question.
Times can blind us to certain truths that later generations can see. And in
well, why is this the moment of truth as opposed to 10 years from now after more evolution may have occurred, which is, I think, the premise of some of my colleagues' comments and questions?
I think the concern expressed by your colleague, Justice Corrigan, is a valid one, but we're here today. We've raised the issue today. The court has to look at the standards of equality that exist in contemporary society and how contemporary society views marriage.
The city's attorney, Stewart, went on to say that California has this long history of adopting rights for gay men and lesbians, the right to adopt, they can be foster parents, they can share property, and the city and the attorneys for the gay couples were basically saying the state has come this far. Marriage is the last barrier for them, and the state should strike that barrier down.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Reporter Sarah Varney. You can watch archived video of the Supreme Court hearings online. We've got a link at our website, californiareport.org. Governor Schwarzenegger said yesterday he'll abide by whatever decision the High Court makes on the issue of same-sex marriage. The governor made that remark at a campaign stop for his next big project, changing the way political districts are drawn. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is going back to what he seems to like best, asking voters to make the decisions the legislature will not.
Hello, how are you?
Good
to see you. How's it going? Are you having breakfast, or is this brunch? Or is
as he worked
lunch?
The tables at a Sacramento restaurant Tuesday, it was political deja vu. In 2005, the governor promoted an initiative to strip the legislature of its power to draw political districts. That year, he lost. The 2008 version would create an independent citizens commission to draw districts for state legislators. But in a major concession to the political parties, this initiative allows the legislature to continue drawing the districts for members of Congress. Schwarzenegger did say the current initiative is only a first step, and he again described redistricting reform as the number one way to improve state government.
This is a bipartisan effort where all of us want to see just a better system. And then as soon as we have the signatures, we're going to travel up and down the state and campaign again together in order to make it win on an initiative on the ballot in November.
The governor's call for a bipartisan campaign will be the key. In 2005, he made it clear he was at war with incumbent legislators. This time, the state's massive budget shortfall requires him to walk a real tightrope, working closely with legislators on one hand while telling average voters those same legislators can't be trusted when it comes to drawing political districts. From the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Republican State Senator Tom McClintock has officially announced his candidacy for a congressional seat far, far away from the Ventura County district he now represents. Some rivals call him a carpetbagger, but McClintock says it's no secret he's really lived in Elk Grove near Sacramento since 1996. And after four fruitless bids for statewide office, early polls suggest he has the name recognition to take the lead in the race to replace retiring Representative John Doolittle. U.S. Representative John Dingell says the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations will vote today to subpoena the man who owns the Chino Slaughterhouse involved in the massive beef recall last month. The Newport Beach man was a no-show last week. And finally today, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom says he's game to push for giant turbines beneath the water under the Golden Gate Bridge, despite a recent study finding the turbines financially unfeasible. The study found each turbine would cost as much as $15 million to start and more to maintain for only a fraction of the power initially estimated. Still, the San Francisco Chronicle reports Newsom saying, "I am going to find a way to make it happen." That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.